Lord, open our hearts and minds to what you would say to us this morning. May we have an undivided heart, hearts that are soft and open to you, hearts that are willing to be obedient and responsive to your word. Bless Andy, fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit, and speak through him. May he know that your favor rests on him. Amen.
Well, friends, it has been, hasn't it?
A brutal start to this new year in terms of news. My goodness, it's been pretty grim. Floods, and then fires, freaky weather. But then, of course, the more perhaps real problems that are ongoing around the world, the fighting that carries on in Ukraine and in Gaza, these things kind of get pushed to the corners. But, you know, they're pretty miserable stuff, and they're right there at the edges, because there's so much else going on. And then this week, if you weren't already kind of feeling a little bit overwhelmed, there's economic gloom to add into the mix. Well, I'm so grateful for just being able to connect with the happy news. Have any of you discovered the happy news on Instagram? So Happy Newspaper has got great headlines every day, something encouraging. The other day it was a driving instructor gives pupil his car. There's things like that just to cheer you on your way. But you need some good news. And we're all in need of some good news, which gives us a good reason to turn to the book of Romans. We've not gone there in a long time. I don't remember ever doing it in the time that I've been here at the church. So it's time that we go back and have a look at this great, great book, this great, great package of information and points that really will help our hearts in many, many ways. So the context, just let me put it into some context for you, is around about 57 AD, so around about 20 years or so after the after Jesus has died, and Paul is in Corinth, the Apostle Paul, that is in Corinth. He's just finished his third missionary journey, and he's about to take a trip to Jerusalem to take an offering to the church that is there. There's a bunch of needy people in the city of Jerusalem, and Paul's collected money from the churches that he's been a minister in all around the Mediterranean, and he's going to take that money to Jerusalem. But he's just gathering that together in Corinth, and before he goes, he drops this note to the Christians in Rome, who's never ever met. He's met some of them who've lived elsewhere, but he's never been to Rome yet. So he's not actually met the folks who are part of all of them who are part of this church. Now, he's writing to a church that 20 years or so after the death of Jesus is becoming increasingly divided, and his heart's kind of breaking for that. Because if you remember, Christianity started out as a Jewish sect, right? So it was, people didn't think that they were becoming something different by believing in Jesus. They were Jewish people who believed in Jesus, and they were actually, they thought it was the outcome and the result of their faith. So they were trying to take all their previous beliefs and then their new ones and bring them together and live by that. And now, 25 years later, more and more people who weren't Jews in the first place, who didn't know anything about Judaism, more and more of those are coming to faith. And so they're not associating it with all the old stuff that the other folks have associated it with. And so you're ending up with kind of almost two camps. There's the people who are saying, no, we have to be Jewish in our identity, even though we might believe in Jesus. And there are those who say, we don't need to be any part of that anymore. We're a new identity. We're a new identity is in Jesus. And obviously, Paul was part of this mix because he called himself the apostle, the messenger to those who weren't Jewish, to the Gentiles. He was that one. And this divide between the two groups is particularly stark in Rome because that church in Rome started amongst Jewish folks because we think that the church in Rome started on the day of Pentecost, actually, because it says back there in Acts that there were people from Rome in the city of Jerusalem the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit broke out. And no doubt some of them took that message back to the capital city of the entire empire, started a church there. Now, they would have been Jewish folks because they were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And when they went back, they took that faith back into their synagogues. And then the church that began in Rome amongst Jews and God-fearers has grown and grown and grown. And there's been problems. And at some point along the line, the emperor expelled all the Christians from Rome because he said there was riots. Suetonius, one of the historians of Rome, records that there were riots with people about the name of a ruler, a leader amongst the Jews called Crestus. So we're thinking, this is Jesus, and it's the disputes that were going on, and the emperor just got tired of it and threw all the Jewish people out of the city of Rome for a while. But that emperor then died, and they could come back. And this church in Rome then has taken on these different identities and probably existed. Rome was a big town, city, the center of the empire, probably existed in many different house churches at this time. And Paul wants to heal the division, not only in Rome, but through the whole church. And he wants us to remember that we're one and we're made one in Christ Jesus. The letter to Romans is all about a thing that we call the gospel. That's an English word for a Greek word that means, we don't have a word for it, do we, in English, which is a sad thing. So we've had to make up a word called gospel. But the word really in Greek means good news. So there was one word that just when it was spoken meant good news. And it usually was associated with proclamations coming from the emperor, because everything the emperor said had to be good news. I think we've got some people that believe that today as well of themselves. But this word was used by Paul to express his message. The gospel is good news. This is good news that because it reminds us what's at the heart of our faith and what unites us. And friends, this is still good news for us today. So let's consider Paul's introduction to what he has to say, and we'll look at that just briefly this morning. Let me read to you Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. He writes, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Well, Paul explains here who this good news comes from, what it is, and why it is good at all. Let's just think about that very quickly. Whose good news is it? This good news is, look at verse 1, it is the gospel, the good news. Think of that word gospel as good news. This is the good news of God. It's not Paul's news. It's not his news to share and to, it's not coming from him. No, the news comes from God. And that's what makes it really good. Paul is a servant. He is a messenger. That's what the word apostle means. He's somebody who brings a message. He is like an ambassador, somebody who has something to share. And the thing that he has to share is the good news of God. It's not some innovation that he or anyone else has come up with, because look at verse 2. This is the good news that God promised beforehand through God's prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God has been planning this for a long time. God is on the move. God is working things out. In this good news, and by this good news, if we jump then through to verse 17, we see that in this good news, this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. What is that righteousness? That is the setting right, the making right of things. We get the word justice from the Latin word that is used to translate righteousness. So it's the rightness, the putting things rightness of God. So God's righteousness, the way that God lives in this perfection of rightness, is now being proclaimed through this good news. This righteousness of God, the righteousness that is by faith, is revealed in this good news. I think it might be helpful just to think for a moment about what Hebrews 11 tells us about faith. But you remember what it says in verse 1 of Hebrews 11? That faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we don't see. And you might be somebody that's up for faith and you're kind of like, yep, that's okay, I'm up for that. Or you might be somebody who it's kind of a bit of a foreign concept. But let me tell you that faith is something that we all need to hold on to every single day of our lives. We all have faith in somebody and something. There are many, many things that we don't have knowledge of. There are many, many things that we can't do for ourselves. So when we go for treatment at the hospital, we place our confidence in something that we're not fully understanding or aware of. But we kind of feel that the people at the other end probably have enough knowledge and confidence in what they're doing. They're going to do a good job on us. Every time you get on a plane to fly somewhere, you don't need to meet the pilot and check his qualifications and run your own tests. You trust that person to fly you, to get you to the place where you need to go. And the list could go on and on. Faith is a part of life. I want you to remember that. And so this good news of the righteousness of God is revealed because it is something that comes through this faith. We don't quite see everything, but it's confidence in what we do see and an understanding of what we do know. So what is this good news? Well, the wonderful thing here, and I love the way that Paul does this, he puts to us that the good news has a name. The good news has a name. Look at verse 9. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel, the good news of his son. The good news has a name. The good news is Jesus. The good news is Jesus. It is the good news of Jesus, a descendant. If we jump back to the first few verses, in verse 3, he says, regarding his son, this gospel that he promised before through the prophets, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. So the great shepherd king, here is his descendant. And this means that this person, Jesus, was chosen. Like David way before him, like David way before him, he had a heart for people that was built from being a shepherd king, from being somebody who could see both sides. He was a very human person, that David, and so is Jesus. But more than that, he is appointed Son of God. Through the Spirit of holiness, appointed, sometimes it says designated, the Son of God. And this points to the divinity of Jesus. And then there's another one of these titles building up, because he was appointed Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ. And as soon as you hear those words, they don't really mean a huge amount to us, but to somebody in the first century, it meant Jesus the Messiah, the promised one, the hope of God's people, the anointed one, the sent one, the one who was coming into the world to change everything. Why? Because he challenges everything at every level. He challenges even life and death, because he is the one who has defeated death. He is the one who lives beyond death. He has died, but he lives. This great one come now to change everything. And more than that, he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow, again, these names being sent to the heart of the Roman Empire would have resonated, because the only Lord that was spoken about in Rome was Caesar. He was Lord. He was the one whom everyone submitted to, the one whom everyone had to bow, the sovereign ruler that everyone had to recognize. But here is Paul proclaiming another Lord, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, who is our Lord, Son of David, Son of God, Messiah and Lord. Here is good news. And Paul turns to his own story in verse 5. Through him, we've received grace and apostleship. And he's remembering that vivid encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ himself in Acts chapter 9, when he was on his way to Damascus and suddenly a great light appeared to him and a voice spoke to him. And Paul says, I saw Jesus. He spoke to me and he gave me a new job to do. He gave me his good news to share. So here, don't ever forget it, that the good news is Jesus. And why is it good news? Why is this good news good news? Well, it brings its good news, verse 16, because it brings salvation. It brings salvation. It brings deliverance. It brings a drastic and longed for change. Salvation comes to those who are oppressed, to those who are subdued, to those who are depressed. Salvation is deliverance. It's setting free. It's like, you don't have to be in that place anymore. There's something different that you can turn to. And it is salvation. Look at verse 16. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone, everyone who believes. Paul speaks about Jews and Gentiles. He speaks in this introduction about Greeks and barbarians. He speaks about the wise and the foolish. And he says this message, this good news, is good news to everyone. It's good news to Romans and Jews. It's good news to Greeks and non-Greeks. It's good news to even those barbarians who don't know anything about civilization, as that was the word that they applied to these people. Everyone is included. In Jesus, the good news is that the righteousness of God is revealed. Sin is judged, death is defeated, new life becomes a possibility. Because we see that Jesus has risen from the dead, we can know hope of life after death. The grave, as we were singing, is not my end, but the start of something new. So, this good news opens up a new way of living. It is to live by faith. In the gospel, verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And we need to recognize today that just like those people that the Apostle Paul was writing to in the city at the very heart of the empire. And I think Paul was so blessed and encouraged to know that even though he'd never been to Rome, even though he'd never gone there, Jesus was there already working out his purposes in the city at the very heart of empire. And you know, my friends, be encouraged. Jesus is already in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in our city. Jesus is already at work. We can choose to join him through something like Alpha and through sharing the good news, but he's already at work. He's already at work. And he invites us by faith to embrace that work of his. We too, just like the people in Rome, verse 7, are called, verse 6 it is actually, called to belong to Jesus Christ. Called to belong. Oh, we all want to belong to something, don't we? We're called to belong to Jesus. And so this opens up the good news to everyone. Faith is the key, and this good news is good news to be shared. It's good news to be shared. Let's pray this week as we share the good news at Alpha that it falls on receptive ears. Let's pray that we can take this good news into our lives this week, sharing it with everyone we meet. Let's pray that the good news takes root in each of you, in me. Let's pray that today we don't leave here without knowing that there's some good news that we can hold on to in the midst of all that challenging and dark news that the world throws at us. Friends, it is good news, and we're about to celebrate that good news. The good news revealed to us in the person of Jesus through the body and blood. And Katrina's going to come and lead us through communion now. Thank you, Katrina.